Hey, welcome back. This is Steve Mileto, your host of Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12. And today is episode 34, where you're going to hear Ms. Valerie Wilson and Mr. Richard Woods, the last two candidates for Georgia State School Superintendent, speak. They were recorded live at a luncheon last week at a conference about the state of education in Georgia. I hope you'll enjoy today's show. It's a little different, but it's going to give you information, you're going to listen to the candidates, and more importantly, you're going to get ideas about who you should vote for. Hopefully you're making decisions, because guess what? Coming up in November is a major, major election, not only in the state of Georgia, but across the nation. Now, in the state of Georgia, we're re-electing or electing a state superintendent as well as a governor. Public education has been under attack nationally, not just in the state of Georgia, which means that these elections are very, very important, and you need to become educated. You need to listen to what the candidates say and what their record shows they really do. In October, actually October 6th, is the last day you can register to vote in the state of Georgia. If you're in a different state, what's your last day to register? Do you know? Are you registered to vote? And you are going to vote, aren't you? Keep that in mind. I think you'll enjoy. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming back week after week. I hope you'll share us with your friends, your family, your colleagues. And no matter what, take time at some point, go buy iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a star rating or a comment. You know, I would love it if you did that. That's how you get found in podcast land, is the more comments you have, the more people are able to find you. So love it if you take time to go do that. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about providing you resources and ideas about helping you in the classroom and in the school and in the school system setting. I thank you so much for being here, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Recently, I attended a state of education conference at the University of Georgia in Athens, Georgia. During the luncheon at this conference, the last two candidates for state school and superintendent were given 15 minutes to speak. What follows is each of those speeches. You're not going to hear me editorialize nor make any comments. I just want you to hear what they had to say. And so the only editing that's done is really to kind of splice the two talks together. Both of them were given 15 minutes, and they took within that time as much time as they saw fit. Listen closely, enjoy, and think about if this was the only information you had. Do you have enough information to really cast your ballot? And also keep in mind, have you registered to vote? And if not, in the state of Georgia, you have to do it by October 6th. Thanks for being here. Have fun.
Like Jack said, Richard is our first candidate to speak to us. And Richard worked in public education for over 22 years. For 14 years, Richard served as a high school social studies teacher. During his work as a teacher, Richard held the position of department chairperson and was nominated as a Irwin County High School Teacher of the Year. He also received statewide and regional recognition for his teaching strategies and classroom technology use. Richard has 8 years of educational administrative service. He worked as an assistant principal, a principal, K-5 curriculum director, preschool director, middle and high school alternative school principal, district homeschool director, and hospital homebound director. In the areas of business, Richard was a lead purchasing agent for a national and international laser company managing multi-million dollar budgets. Richard currently owns and operates a personal small business. He received his BS degree in secondary education from Kennesaw State University and his MED in educational leadership from Valdosta State University. Richard.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be back up. That as far as education, perhaps that I don't share a whole lot of, but if you ever have cats in your ceiling, I can remove those, or dogs in the hallway, or snakes in the classroom. So I think one of the joys of working in a rural system, many things walk into our schools down there in South Georgia. But it is a pleasure to be here today, and again, I thank you for allowing both of us as candidates to come and speak before you today. But you know, I'm excited. I'm excited because I'm optimistic. And even though that within education, whether you look statewide or national, from a national viewpoint, there are a lot of challenges we face. But I do believe that definitely our brighter days can be ahead, you know, of us, because. You know, for me, I think if we look at obstacles, and for someone that, you know, taught in the classroom, worked as an administrator, you know, obstacles were always seen as opportunities, and that's something that I hope, as far as a mentality, that I can bring it to this office. And even looking at shortfalls that we have, I think shortfalls open up the doors of success. And because of that, that's where, you know, I'll share with you very briefly as far as what I'm looking at, and really the vision as far as where I see that we as Georgians need to move. And I think that, you know, for us, you know, it comes to properly prioritization. And that means making sure that we prioritize, you know, our purpose in education, make sure that we prioritize our personnel and purchasing. Because these are three things that are uniformly locked together. And we look at the purpose of education, and then what we look at as far as what is our purpose. And I've shared throughout the year now, you know, our purpose are our children. You know, we must make sure that we focus on our children and education, because if we fail our children, we have failed education in general. You know, by doing so, how do we get that? Well, I think we need to go back to a mentality where we personalize our education and not standardize the education, because all of us who have been in education know that each child is different. You know, they come to us at different stages, and they remain with us in different stages. And so we must allow our teachers to make sure that they have the time and, you know, resources to address those individual needs of our children. You know, also looking at that, you know, I think that with our children, we talk about personalization. That means expanding the graduation opportunities they have. You know, doing some things that perhaps was, what do they call it, vocational, technical, you know, expansion. And I think George is moving, you know, more in line with that. Again, coming out of No Child Left Behind, where we said, you know, everyone's going to college, we kind of went to the extreme. And so I think we're seeing hopefully a little bit more balance in that. And I think with that as well, you know, we don't forget our STEM, our science, math, technology areas, you know, for those students that are there. I'm a very strong proponent of the classical approach of education, probably which many of us in here graduated with. I think a balance is good, because the balance has provided me with many, many different opportunities, whether it's working in a carpet mill or a peanut mill, you know, going on to, you know, technical school, engineering school, and of course getting my undergraduates and graduate degree, and with a variety of even going back to school within this past year at one of our technical schools with the online program. So that is something we can do. And I think by doing, you know, giving us a little bit more choice in that area, we can be more efficient and reach out to our children. And then, you know, looking at, you know, the deeper partnerships, you know, across the board, you know, hopefully, you know, having some apprenticeships, you know, with business, you know, letting business, you know, bring labs into our settings so that we can have more practicality with that, you know, doing deeper partnerships with our technical schools, our vocational areas, and, you know, four-year schools, you know, because I do think those are logical partnerships that we can have that offer that. But in order to do that, in order to make sure that we are personalizing our education system for our children, you know, we've got to address some of the needs and concerns of our teachers. You know, we have to be teacher supported. And I think for me as an individual who has seen various changes and shifts in education, you know, that means we have to reduce some of the paperwork, the data collecting that they are facing. Because if we are taking time away from them, or they have become more paper pushers, instead of working with our kids, we're taking away the time that is necessary so that they can reach out and meet those individual needs of the kids. And so that is something I am very strong and adamant about, and that we need to make sure that we reduce things. And again, I think that means addressing even things such as the teaks and leaks, you know, our accountability system. because, again, something that's very burdensome, not only with our teachers, but also across the board with our administrators, our student learning objectives. You know, to cut out some of the redundancy that we see within education, again, bureaucracy in many ways likes to perpetuate itself. And so I think that is something that what I have seen, and we will try to change and make sure that we maintain, you know, a solid commitment to make to allow our teachers to teach. And then also addressing our testing. I think, you know, with testing itself, we do way too much testing, you know, across the board. We have increased it. And I think that as we look at trying to reduce the testing, not only do we try to cut back, but also we have to look at why we are testing and make sure it is purposeful. You know, many things such as what I grew up out, and again with an administrator and looking at the CRCT, you know, many times I've also referred to that as an autopsy report. You know, it's something we collected at the end of the year. And it did not, you know, advance the education of the child, nor did it really allow our teachers to perform and do the duty they needed to do. And that's why I've called for more of a diagnostic approach. I think, you know, you want to see your doctor while you're alive and not when you're dead, okay? And so I think we have to address those things on the front end. And also with that, you know, making sure that, you know, being classroom centered, because one of the things as a foundation is, and coming from a high school background, my kids knew content. But the issues they always had was something, you know, dealt with either literacy, reading comprehension. And again, someone who has worked in the K-5 area, you know, that is something I'm very passionate about. Literacy, again, for me as a person, as an individual, and hopefully as your next state school superintendent, will become, you know, one of the major platforms and things that we will focus on in Georgia. Because I do believe if we become the number one literate state in our nation, we can open up the doors of opportunities for our kids. And then, so those are some of the things we look at to make sure they are on grade level in reading by third grade and also in math by fifth grade, because that is research-based, is data-based. And I think protecting, you know, education in general, I think, you know, because one of the things we talked about, you know, professionalism and spending, you know, we have to look after our teachers. Our teachers have faced a lot of different challenges. You know, we have seen, you know, throughout the years, you know, that things such as our benefits being peeled, you know, more and more back. But we have to treat these individuals as professionals. And that means making sure that they have, you know, the pay scale that is worthy of a professional and protecting that across the board. You know, and looking at the benefits to make sure that, you know, that we are drawing good people into education. We have to make sure that we have the very best that will follow. One of the things that has been probably the most disconcerting thing across my travels is that our veteran teachers across the state, where we once encouraged our young people, our brightest, to get into education, many are now telling them, do not go into education. And we have to look at the reason why that is. We have to make sure that we are supporting and encouraging and building an environment that draws the very best and brightest, you know, into that. And I think finally, as I kind of conclude here with that, we talked about you know, purchasing and prioritization of money. You know, money is great. And again, we need to make sure we are fully funded, but we need to make sure also that money is going into the right areas. And I think that's why I've asked for an audit of the department to make sure that we are properly spending and putting money in the resources that we are supporting our kids or teachers in the classroom. You know, defending us against unfunded mandates, whether it's from the federal government or from the state government, because those of us who have lived at the local level know there are no more blood to give in the turnip. You know, again, when I first began as an educator, it was roughly the state was paying 60%, the locals were 40. Now that pyramid has basically reversed itself. And so we have more and more burden being placed on the locals. And so we need to make that change and look through the regulatory process of doing that. But also as a small business person, doing some things where I think we can bring some sound business, you know, practicality to this. Perhaps such as looking at a purchasing or a voluntary purchasing agent, so that instead of one system buying buses or technology, that we pull our resources across the state to get the very best deal. And so that's something that I think that will be, you know, a mindset that we change. But also with that, you know, finally, as we look at this, is making sure we do a better job communicating. We have to control the message in education. We have to control the message in Georgia. And that means bringing all of our educational partners, you know, our teachers, our educators, administrators, you know, individuals such as you, the ERISA, our parents, our you know, whether it's the governor, and, you know, our General Assembly and business, bring us all to the table so that we can develop a system that is best for Georgia, that allows us to succeed. Because as a coach, I never wanted to be last. I always wanted to be number one. And as your next state school superintendent, that will be my mission. I will make sure that we provide our kids with the very best, the number one educational opportunities that we can provide. That I will provide our teachers with the very best support that allows them to teach. so that when people look at Georgia, we will be number one. It's just like over here at the Dogs. They don't want to be number two. We're looking at being number one. And so, you know, I thank you again today. And again, I think as I've shared with that, I'll be around a little bit afterwards as well. But I try to share that for any smart politician, the less you say, the smarter you sound. So I'm going to sit down now. And again, I thank you very much. You've been a gracious host and an attentive audience. Thank you very much. Speak is Valerie Wilson. Valerie joined the school board of the City Schools of Decatur in 2002 and was board chair from 2005 to 2011. Valerie joined the Georgia School Board Association in 2009 and was its president from 2012-13. She helped develop the vision for public education in Georgia, an educational framework for boards that included input from board members, superintendents, teachers, teaching colleges, elected officials, parents, and students. She has also served on Governor Deal's Education Advisory Board and was a member of the Decatur Education Foundation. Valerie is currently Executive Director of the Atlanta Beltline Partnership. Previously, she was Director of Human Services Department in Fulton County. She also served, she also has been Director of Fulton County's Office of Aging. A native of Swainsboro, Georgia, Valerie is a graduate of Clark College and completed graduate studies in public administration at Troy State University. She now lives in Decatur with her husband Carter and son Nicholas, a senior at Georgia State University. Please help us welcome Valerie.
So the first thing I have to do is to correct this. My son graduated, well, he didn't graduate, but we're gonna fix that. My son was drafted in June to play for the Tampa Bay Rays, and he has 5 hours left before he graduates. But Mama's saying he's going to graduate. So he will be a graduate. First of all, I want to thank you all for having me here today and having us here and giving us the opportunity to speak to your group. I am excited about the opportunities that's before us in the state of Georgia. While I'm one of those glass half full kind of people, and while I believe we have huge obstacles in front of us, I don't think that there are anything that we cannot overcome. I believe that Georgia has some of the best educators and administrators and professionals in the state of Georgia to move education forward, and I believe that we have everything that we need within our education community to actually put the state of Georgia on the trajectory to success. So I'll tell you a little bit about my experience. A lot of people have said to me as I have traveled the state, and Lord knows I have traveled this big state of Georgia, to talk about my campaign and to talk with people. A lot of people have said to me, Ms. Wilson, you've never worked in a classroom. And they want me to explain why I feel like I have the ability to lead our State Department of Education. And what I say to them is that, no, I've never worked in a classroom, but I feel as though I have worked, and I know I have worked on what I believe has been one of the most successful educational teams in the state of Georgia for the City Schools of Decatur. Because for a team, you have to have all of the components that's there that's working to move the system forward. I don't think that there's any superintendent in this room or any members, any people here that can say that if you don't have a team that is made up of the policymakers, which may be the school board members, the governor's side, the administrative level around implementation, and the teachers who are in the classroom to really be working in concert to make it work. If you don't have at that governance level the knowledge and the understanding of what needs to be happening in the classrooms, then you're not going to be successful. They've all got to be working together, and I really do believe that in our role, my role as a school board member leading that board for 7 years, I was a part of what I believe has been one of the most effective teams in the state of Georgia. I think our outcomes show us that. I also had the ability to work at Fulton County Government, and you heard that in the resume, where you heard that I led the Human Services Department, the Office of Aging, and I'm now leading a multi-million-dollar nonprofit agency. I say all those things to say I have the business and the education experience. The Department of Education is one of the largest departments in state government, It has one of the largest budgets with one of the largest numbers of people, and you have to have someone there that has the professional or the experience to run that, the business experience, if you would, to run that department, as well as having the educational know-how or experience to make sure that we are moving forward. That's important for me, and that's my answer that I give, because I really do believe that I have what it takes to run our Department of Education. So I'm going to tell you quickly what I see happening, and then I'm going to tell you how I believe we move forward from it. I'm telling you something that you already know. We've lost $8.4 billion in the Department from education across this state over the last 10 years. 12 years ago when I came on my board, the split between the state's contribution to our public education system and the city schools of Decatur was about 70-30. When I left a few months ago, it was switched. We were paying about 70% and the state is doing about 30%. That's huge for us. In the city of Decatur, that amounted to us losing close to $7 to $8 million in our budget. We had to figure out how we move forward as a system with dealing with that. And I feel good about the work that we did, because we moved forward as a system without furloughs, without maximizing class sizes, without shortening our school year, and making sure that we were providing as much as possible all of the resources necessary in a classroom. But as you travel this state, what you see is that that's not possible across this state. You heard, I'm from Swainsboro, Georgia. I'm from South Georgia, rural South Georgia. I can tell you that it is a totally different story when you go into those districts across this state. And even in the districts in Metro Atlanta, where you have huge opportunities in some areas and in other areas you don't. And I think that's something that we have to pay attention to. And we could say resources don't matter. People say to me, Valerie, you talk about money all the time. But money is extremely important when you are not paying your teachers, when you are not providing the professional development that they need to be successful, when you are not able to buy the books for the classrooms or the tools that they need in the classroom to be successful, when you are not able to make sure or determine whether or not you're going to run your transportation system or you're going to clean your building, when you have all of these balancing acts that you have to make because you don't have the funding that's necessary in order to move the system forward, money does matter. It absolutely does matter. I think that as we move forward in the state of Georgia, we've got to figure out how we are going to move forward and how we move forward with a vision for public education. I was very proud of the work that I did with the group around the vision for public education in the state of Georgia. And the reason I was proud of it is because for the first time, I heard us talking about a vision that was being led by educators, not a vision that, and I'm being too generous, I think, when I call anything else that we've done a vision, because what was happening prior to that is that we were having, if you had this 4 years, this superintendent, you had this way, you were going in this direction, and then you changed, and then you were going in that direction, or, you know, it was never anything that we had that we were working towards. I learned on my time and my tenure, my 12 years on the Board of Education in the city of Decatur, you've got to have a vision. You've got to have a strategic plan of how you get there. And it doesn't matter who comes on board to be a member of that Board of Education. You've got to stick to that vision in order to see the successes that you want to see at the end of the day. I think what we have done in the state of Georgia is jerked around way too much. That's happened with our standards. One day we've got these standards. Next couple of years we've got these standards. We're moving all over the place, and we don't have the opportunity to be successful. And what we are hearing as we are doing that as an education community is that we are failing children. But what I'm hearing from teachers as I've crossed this state is, Ms. Wilson, just get us somewhere that we can stay and that we can prove that we can do the work that we are being asked to do. But we don't have the opportunity to do that because every other year we're being asked to learn something different. I've heard that as I've crossed this state and I've talked to teachers. I've asked them, how do you feel about Common Core? What do you think? And what they've said to me is, Ms. Wilson, we were doing that before they adopted it and called it Common Core. Let's just be clear. But what we want you to do is we want you to stick with some standards. We want you to make sure that we have the opportunity to move forward. So I said, so I can tell you what I believe my concerns are, and what I shared with them is I believe my concerns has to do with the assessment piece that we've attached to it and the evaluation piece that we've attached to it that is hurting us. Because I know, and I've always said it, on my board in the city of Decatur, I was the board member that was always railing about what other tests do they have us taking now? What other thing are they asking us to have our teachers do in the classrooms? Because it was driving me crazy. Because my administrators and my teachers in the classroom couldn't do what they were needing to do, which is part of the reason why we went to become a charter system, because we thought we could get away and have a little bit more flexibility. And I see you, Phil, shaking your head. That's not the case. That wasn't what happened for us. So at the end of, and I shared this with them, and they said, you've got it. Because we don't have the ability to just teach our students. We just don't have that anymore. And that's disconcerting for me. We've got to move away from that. So that was a part of what I heard from them. So I need to hurry because I'm getting close to my 15 minutes. I'm looking at Jack. So let me just say this to you. Moving forward, one of the first things that I intend to do as your next state school superintendent is to work on creating a funding formula that prioritizes public education and allows us to look at the diverse needs of our rural districts and our urban districts, bringing together folks from rural and urban districts. And I'm talking about administrators. I'm talking about school superintendents. I'm talking about parents from across the state that we sit down and understand. I don't have the ability to change the funding formula as the state school superintendent, but I certainly can make recommendations. I look forward to working with whoever my governor is to say, this is what the educators and parents across this state, this is a recommendation from us. Because if we are ever going to move forward, that office and the state school superintendent's office has got to say, we are going to coalesce around this vision and this is what we believe possible. So looking forward to creating that recommendation, if you would, of a budget that allows, of a funding formula that allows us to move forward. The other thing that I look forward to doing is working with districts across the state, because I've heard from time and time again as I've traveled, they spend too much money in the administrative offices and they don't do enough in the classrooms and they need to cut this. One of the things that we talked about in my district, and we made all cuts, and every cut we made them at our administrative office level, at our central office level, to the point that we had cut to the bare bones. There was no place else to cut in the central office area. But parents still didn't feel as though we cut enough. I think if we could have just cut the superintendent out and everything else out and just did nothing else, they probably would have been happy. But helping people to understand and helping our communities to understand what it is and why we need the services that we need, but also working along with our districts, with our central offices, to help them realize any efficiencies. And that's something that I can't make anyone do. As a state school superintendent, none of us standing here, none of us running for Richard nor myself can tell you we're gonna make any of them do anything, because that takes me to my other area that I believe in, which is local control. At the end of the day, the local boards of education have to make the decisions as it relates to what is happening within their districts. And I say that because it is important that we maintain that local control. What I have seen happening across this state and across this country is this need at the state level to reach in to tell the local communities what to do and how to do. They're being too prescriptive as it relates to how to manage their school systems. The state government doesn't want the federal government to reach in, and we shouldn't be reaching in and trying to tell the local communities what to do. But what we should be doing at the state school superintendent's office is providing best practices and opportunities for local districts to look at for ways that are proven effective across the state. So that's one of the things I look forward to working with them to do. The other thing that we've got to do is we've got to empower our educators. We've got to make sure that we get back to providing one of the, I think, the most horrible impacts of our funding crisis has been that we have had to reduce funding towards professional development and all of the support that needs to happen to help our classroom teachers be better. We've got to help them do that. We've got to put those dollars back in place so we're doing it. We're asking teachers to do almost the impossible when we ask them to make sure that we are preparing our students to be successful in a 21st century, and Lord knows we're about to move out of it, but in the 21st century environment. We're asking our teachers to teach our students to be critical thinkers, to be problem solvers, but we are not providing the support and the training that they need in order to do that. When you look at some of the standards that we have, and Lord knows I've heard plenty about the standards, but when you look at those standards that we have, we're asking them to teach children how to think differently. But have we trained them in that way with doing that? I've got about a minute left, so I'm gonna move really quickly on that. The final and the one piece that I think is important is to bring together our teaching colleges, to bring them together to help us work on how we help create a strong and vibrant teaching force that is coming out and to support those who are in place. Finally, I would say to you, my final area that I will focus on is parental engagement. We cannot do this without parents at the table, but we have to do this with parents in a substantive way. We can't just ask them to come to PTA meetings and think that that's it. We've got to truly engage our parents in moving our students forward and achievement forward in this state. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here and giving me this opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Woods and Ms. Wilson, for your comments. And thanks for being here with us today and sharing your thoughts about where you would like to see us go in the state of education in Georgia. So thank you again. And thank you for adhering to your time. That's always makes it so easy for those of us who are keeping time.
Hey, so what'd you think about that? You got a chance to hear from both candidates. Both of them were given 15 minutes, and they both had a chance to talk. These are both the candidates for the Georgia State School Superintendent. In your state, do you have a state school superintendent that's running for re-election? We also have a governor. In the coming weeks, I'm hoping to be able to link to some of the governor candidate speeches. No matter what, voting and exercising your right to vote as an educated voter is so important. In the state of Georgia, the last day to register is October 6th. It's just around the corner. What about in your state? Are you registered to vote? And if not, what are you waiting for? Find out how you do it and go do it. I don't know about you, but this election is extremely important. Public education is under constant attack as public school teachers and administrators are expected to solve societal ills. When the political arena pulls more and more money away and gives it to their pet projects, it becomes even more difficult to address the needs of families. What about in your state, in your local community? Are you registered to vote? Do you take time to learn the issues? Do you take time to understand who the candidates really are? I encourage you to take time to learn and to make sure that you vote as an educated voter, someone who knows what the candidates are professing and what their record shows that they really do. Thanks for being here today. I hope you'll come back next week, and I hope you'll share us with all your friends, colleagues, and especially those family members. Have an awesome, awesome day.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.com. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store or at Stitcher.com. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.